Want to know our best-kept hosting secrets?
They're all inside our STR Must-Haves Master List, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The Must-Haves Master List is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this: your guest checks into your short-term rental, and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE Must-Haves Master List by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best hosts didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Hosting hot tip. You know how we're always on the hunt for awesome pieces for our short-term rentals?
Well, we're going to let you in on our secret weapon. It is Manoan. They have steep discounts on over 100 top brands. Think Wayfair, Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Parachute, Bello. The list goes on and on. But these discounts are for hosts and designers for hosts only.
I had my eye on this awesome coffee table from Wayfair, wanting to give our listing that wow factor, but you know us. We are all about having our numbers dialed in and staying budget friendly.
And that's where Manoan stepped in with an awesome discount. And here's the kicker. Becoming a member is totally free. Yes, I said free. F-R-E-E. No cost to join. No monthly membership. It is completely free. But these discounts are exclusive. You do have to be a host or a designer for hosts.
Once you're a member, all you have to do is head to their site, install their browser extension, which makes shopping so, so simple, and purchase and fill your shopping cart in just a few clicks. And it's not just furniture and decor. Restock your most used items anytime you need to refill your supply area.
Exactly. And the best part, again, no catch. There's no fees, nada. Just major discounts waiting for you. Being a Manoan member is like being a VIP host without breaking the bank.
So head on over to manoanexperience.com. That's M-I-N-O-A-N experience.com, or just simply click the link in our show notes and sign up and let the savings begin. Hello, listeners. Welcome back for another great episode. My name is Sarah Kara Kahan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for Visiting. Let's kick off this episode like we do every week. That is sharing one of you, our listeners, who is using our hashtag #STRShareSunday. If you use that hashtag on Instagram, we will find you and then we will share you on Instagram on Sundays, but also here on the podcast to our entire email list. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week we are sharing at Candy Cabins of Broken Bow.
Ooh.
Yeah. At Candy Cabins of Broken Bow. Couple things of note here. They have so many moments. Yes, I'm going to call them moments that are special and really differentiate, I believe. One is they have a teepee outside. And it really isn't an overnight teepee. It's more of like a hangout spot. And they have a platform built for it. It's a place where kids, even adults, can hang out. I just think it's something really special that they have on their property. A couple of other moments are just like a bay window seating area. Looks really lovely to bask in the sun and read a book. They have this amazing coffee bar and then like kind of two chairs sitting by the coffee bar as a moment. They have an indoor swing by a fireplace, another moment. I just think there's these special spots throughout that are very intentional. You know, they have that intentionality of people unwinding and enjoying themselves. So I think really well done on those moments.
Can we talk about their Bigfoot silhouette? It's so cute.
is it a silhouette?
Oh,
I think I don't know. Duped, Sarah. It's the real thing. Cute. It's the real thing. Well done. Well done, Candy Cabins of Broken Bow. Broken Bow is my list of places to go for sure. This episode of one of our coaches inside our membership, and she is, she takes action, and we applaud her for that. And we're excited for you guys to nerd out with us.
Wendy Doris used to be a house flipper in Arizona. That's how I first met her on Instagram. I mean,
she was a flipper in Cincinnati first,
right?
Wasn't she?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Actually, she was a flipper at Arizona State. She was a gymnast.
That was
her original flipping, Wendy. We thought it was flipping houses, but it was flipping, like backflips flipping.
Yes, it was. And then I met her. Like, I got to know of Wendy from Instagram. She has an incredible and fun following. And then we got to even know each other more as I started sharing my co-hosting experiences on Instagram. She DM'd me. We had a lot of conversations about business building. And then now Wendy is a coach inside of our program. And she's so amazing as a coach there because she loves the details, especially when it comes to the operations of her business, Mostis, which is located in the Phoenix and Scottsdale area of Arizona, which is very competitive if you're not aware. Like, it is probably one of the most competitive vacation rental markets in the U.S. And Wendy is absolutely crushing it. And it's like no stone is left unturned when it comes to dialing in her operations and making sure that they are being as efficient as possible. And it's not just her business, but she wants to make sure her team is enjoying their time working at Mostis. She wants to make sure the owners that she represents are also winning with her operations. So this episode really is going to tug at the heartstrings of anyone out there who really loves efficiency and operations of their short-term rental, especially if you're managing, I would say, more than 3 or 4 properties, or if you're a co-host, get your pen and paper out. Wendy's going to take us on a roller coaster ride as she improves her supply program. And spoiler alert, she loses a lot of money at the beginning.
Or does she?
Does she?
Dun, dun, dun.
Wendy Doris, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Okay. So excited to be back on.
I know. We're gonna nerd out today. Wendy and I, and I think, Annette, do you like operations as much as we do? Or do you have PTSD from it a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. I like operations, but you guys love it.
Did you always know you loved operations, Wendy?
No.
I'm
answering for her.
But I did always know that I don't want to hang out doing operations all the time. So figuring out what systems to set up so it will just run more smoothly, that is my jam.
Let's talk about it then. For today, we could talk about all the systems, and maybe we just have like the system shakedown.
Can I give a fun fact about Wendy and myself?
Yes.
And it comes to operations and homes.
Okay.
Wendy and I actually worked with Wendy's little sister almost 20 years ago now at a residential house painting business. So I'm going to bring it back to homes. And Wendy's sister and I were very responsible for all the operations there and sending 50 contractors out to people's homes to paint the exterior. And it was quite the operation, quite the organization. But it was really fun when, I think, Wendy, you were on our show.
I think it was
back in the day.
15 or something. And Erica was listening. She goes, I know that voice. That's Annette.
And it kind of came full circle of like, her sister was listening. I was like, that's Annette. Like, I've worked with Annette. So it was like years and years. Yeah, almost 20 years later, it came back around. So just fun fact, everybody, that you are your brand all the time. You're a co-host, Wendy. And everybody's like, what if I host my own property and then I co-host? And I just want to remind everybody, you are your own brand all the time, no matter if you're working for yourself, if you're working for a company, if you're working for a homeowner. Connections matter, though, and your brand will continue to follow you forever, whether it's good or bad. But just a fun little fact there that I've actually worked with Wendy's little sister 20 years ago, full circle, working with Wendy again. So it's just kind of fun what the hosting world has brought to all of us.
Awesome things. Okay, so Wendy, there was a pain point in your business and you set out to solve it. So before we get to it, real quick, just a recap, share with our listeners who you are, where your business is, what it looks like real quick. And then, yeah, then dive into this pain point.
My business name is Mostis, and we are in Arizona, based in Phoenix, but we host in Phoenix, Scottsdale, and in Cottonwood, Arizona, and expanding to Prescott, Arizona next month.
Let's go.
And yeah. So we like all of Arizona. We manage 14 homes currently, and we're growing. And I think we've been hosting for maybe 6 years. My very first one was 2010 in Cincinnati. So I've been doing it for a while. But as we were growing, I realized that my team was growing, and we're sending out packages to each house. Well, first we were sending things out to the cleaning team, and they're having to bring supplies and stuff to the house. It just started to get a little bit messy. So I maybe introed into what the problem is that we are solving, but supplies, it just became a huge headache.
What are supplies though? Define the supplies and how the home, like all of your properties you co-host, are they all individual owners? So they have different supply accounts. How is that working?
Each home is owned by a different out-of-state owner. And so we were buying shampoo, laundry detergent, all the things that we call kind of the grocery items. What else? Dishwashing detergent.
Toilet paper? Paper towels?
Toilet paper, paper towels. We have a list of, 17 things that are in this kind of program that every house has. No house doesn't have these things. We were sending it by Amazon to the house. We had delivery boxes there at each house. Not every house had one, but sometimes, maybe it wouldn't fit in the delivery box or something. So we would deliver it to the cleaning team. Cleaning team had to lug it to the house. And so each owner was paying for each shipment. No matter if we had to buy 10 different things and their bill was $300 that month for supplies in the middle of low season, that's just what it was. And they never complained about it, but I looked at my invoices and I'm like, this is disgusting. I can't look at this. I'm tired of my team carrying these things around. So I wanted to do something better.
Would you be ordering, it sounds to me, like as needed? So Monday, you might place an order for a home, Tuesday, an order for a home, Wednesday. And so you've got to figure out when it's getting delivered. Is it before the turnover, after the turnover? So you could essentially be ordering supplies every day of the week because they're all kind of going down at the same. Is that what was happening?
Yeah. Every turnover. So we use Breezeway, and every turnover in the supply section of Breezeway, a team member could say, we need more oil, olive oil or whatever. So somebody could say they need olive oil today, and then 2 days later, we need toilet paper, and then 2 days later after, every turnover. So it was a lot for the hosting team to also keep up on.
And we want to discuss also an issue that Sarah and I don't have to deal with. And you have an interesting issue being in Arizona. It's like, oh, well, just buy more and store it in your basement, Wendy. Buy more. Keep it in the garage, Wendy.
Why don't you just buy in bulk, Wendy?
Why can't you do that at your
property? No basements, and most houses don't have a garage. And if they do, they are going to be 115 degrees inside during the summer. So anything like coffee, sugar is probably fine, but olive oil, batteries aren't part of the supply program, but also something that we need to store somewhere. So those things are all sitting, or we would not put those things outside, but there's just not room for that stuff, So we have to be very strategic about how we store things. Some of our garages have kind of like the hardware cabinets that lock up. Some of them have a coat closet. We don't wear coats, so we don't need that. So we have coat closets that have been converted. We have laundry cabinets that have been converted with the little magnet lock. So we kind of have stuff all over the place, and no nice, neat shelving in our basements here.
I'll never forget the day you told me. I was like, I think we were just talking about supplies one day, and I was like, well, trying to like be me and just try to like tell you like, oh, you should just do this. And you're like, yeah, girl, there's no basements here. So
yeah, you're like, Wendy's like, that would be great, but that doesn't exist here.
Okay. So this was a pain point for not just you, but I'm sure your cleaning team was like, hey girl, I don't want things delivered to my house.
And the owner getting a different random amount. Would you get feedback from owners? Like
she said no, but yeah, did okay. They?
I don't remember anybody saying anything, but in the middle of July when I know their utility bills are $600, $700, not utility, I'm sorry, electric bill because of air conditioning and just low season. And then they're getting $300 on toilet paper and shampoo. It's just, it hurts me. I hate sending out invoices and I want them to be nice and neat. It's something they can expect. So, yeah.
So what did you do? Take us through the process of what you've now built out to be your quote unquote supply program.
Okay. So last January, we started right at the first of the year so I could have some nice, tidy little books. And we decided to have to take one of my storage units, which I already had random design stuff in, and lined it with shelves and stocked it full. Just went to Costco and like had 2-3 giant carts full and brought it back to the storage unit, lined it all up. So then we were going to take things to the houses and keep them regularly stocked, which is kind of a separate problem that we've changed. But basically charging the owner a per turnover cost for supplies now. So we're kind of charging them for when a guest is using it rather than what has been purchased and put in their supply closet.
What is a per turn? You know, is it like this guest is going to use 2 sheets of toilet paper, 4 paper towels, 1 dollop of olive oil, a shake of salt, and
how did you determine a use case?
Yeah, I want to know supply math. Take us through it.
Okay, so what I did was take all the supplies over a year for a certain house. I did this for 4 houses. So 2 4-bedroom houses and 2 3-bedroom houses so I could compare. And I took the entire cost over a year and then divided it by, how did I figure that out? This is the notes I didn't take because I did this a year ago. But I divided it out and it turned out that if we charge per number of guests for the house.
Okay.
So like if a house sleeps 10, that's how much we charge.
Okay.
Times a multiplier, which was $2.50 per turn.
So it doesn't matter if the reservation was only for 2. You're just going off of what it could.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Great.
We didn't want to have to go through and say 2 people stayed there for, that's a whole nother nightmare.
Right.
But so I said $2.50 per turn per guest. So if a house sleeps 10 people, multiply that by $2.50. And now we are charging $25 per turn.
How did you come up with that $2.50 number?
When I did the math, whenever that was last year, I think that I realized that that was the multiplier that was going to work out for how much they spent over the year. I divided it, like I didn't want to take it by month because we saw how random it was. So we just took it and divided it out. And I don't honestly remember how I got to that number.
I'd say averages. Did you take a 12-month average of those 4-bedroom, 3-bedrooms, the total amount of supplies by the amount of guests it holds? I'd say it's probably a lot of averages.
By how many turns you had over the year.
I know you can't believe this, but I have a spreadsheet up right now. And I'm looking at it. So one particular house sleeps 10 people. The total for 2022 was $1,494.50. So $1,500. Divided by 10 people, the house sleeps, which was a cost of about $2.62 per guest.
Okay.
Get it. I feel like this is like a word problem and we're figuring it out.
Do you think this number, I feel like everyone listening might be like, okay, if Wendy just did that math, can I just use that? Like, do you think that $2.62, if you're shopping at Costco, Sam's Club, Amazon, that's kind of like a universal number for like the states? Or what about that number do you think might be special to you and your company and your location?
I would do my own math. Obviously, if you don't have the history to do that, or you don't have your expenses broken out this way, it's going to be difficult. It could be something that you just try. But I have certain supplies in this that we are including. So, for instance, in the kitchen, we include ground coffee. But we do not include Nespresso because not every house has that. We don't include K-cups. But we do include paper towels, oil, salt and pepper, sponges, creamer, sugars, dish soap, dishwasher detergent, rinse aid, and trash bags. So that's just the kitchen. So maybe you have different supplies that you are not going to include. So it just depends on what you're going to do, how much the cost is for your supplies in your area. That was going off of how much it cost us to have Amazon send stuff. So,
right. It's probably lower now than this bulk buying at Costco. How did you roll this out? It's been over a year now. How did you let your clients know about this change? I know we have our membership, a lot of co-hosts. It's a nerve-wracking thing to talk invoicing with the client and things are changing. What was that for you? Was it an email, an explanation? Everybody got it. Hey, starting January 1, how do you deploy this across all of your clients? A big change.
I believe it was in December or January, maybe even November or December. I kind of told them like, hey, we're going to deplete all the stuff that's in your closet. I wanted to get it as empty as possible before we started this. And because they had paid for that stuff. So now I'm not going to charge them for that. So we tried to get it as empty as possible with the guests that we had. And I just told them, we're going to be able to buy this in bulk. We're going to alleviate a lot of issues for our team. And hopefully, you know, this is an experiment. And you guys, my owners are so great. And I'm really like pretty blunt and they are used to that. So I think they kind of like that about me. I'm very transparent, but I just said, hopefully we're going to save on supplies by doing this. So they didn't really bat an eye at it. And some of the houses that we had kind of like replenished and needed a little bit more time, I didn't bring them in until maybe February.
So to recap really quick, for this 10-person house, after your year of tracking, and then you did this math, every turnover then for this 10-person house, it's $25 for the items that you just outlined, plus the other rooms, for this like the select items that you've determined every house needs these things in the Mostest program. Mm-hmm. That is what that will cover. So no matter what, if there's 10 people, 4 people, 6 people, this is the average, is $25 for supplies per turn. What did you discover? How long have you been doing the new supply program now?
Okay, so around January, maybe beginning of January, I had a full year documentation, and my bookkeeper is really good at breaking down everything. And so we pulled the yearly report, the profit and loss report, and the revenue that we brought in from collecting from the owners per turn.
In 2023, you started January 2023.
Right. Okay. Right. So in 2024, we pulled the report. The revenue we brought in was $13,702.50.
Okay.
The expenses, and there's two parts to this. There's the supply expense, which it like the actual cost of the supply is $17,467. And then there's the labor. So getting the supplies to the houses, the delivery was $3,805.
Okay.
A caveat to that is that we didn't start really doing that delivery until a few months in. So over a year, it would be more like $4,200 with the way we were doing it.
Okay.
So it would be higher. So the total expense was $21,272.
But you only collected $13,000.
Exactly.
Ooh,
I had a cow.
All right. So
I didn't expect this turn, Wendy. This is good.
All right.
It gets better.
Oh, okay. Well, but I've got a... Numbers over audio sometimes it's difficult. So you through all of your collection 2023, $13,700, but mm-hmm. you spent on supplies and labor around $21,000. So
correct.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's a difference.
$7,500
that you a difference, is that right, Wendy? $7,500 difference.
Yes. Yeah, so then I thought my multiplier was crap. You know? I'm like, this is not. We have to make changes now. This is like, I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, why didn't you check on this? I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Did your bookkeeper do like a 6-month touch base, or was it just like, hey, we're going to do this for the entire year because we have to have a full year of slow season, high season? Was that the decision made in January? Like, we're not going to look monthly because it's not going to be a good thing. Were you just like, let's go a full year before peeking in on it?
Yes. We did know that there was a deficit. But the thing is that we weren't buying every month. So I would spend and I thought, okay, well, once we collect some more, maybe it'll catch up. Mm. When we collect more, but we're not buying more yet.
Right.
right? So there's
a lag.
The storage unit is not stocked. So now it's like, okay, you know, at some point I'm going to figure this out. And then, you know, when the year is up and you see your final numbers, then it's kind of forced.
Sarah.
What?
I want you to take a guess how much we are going to spend this year on Airbnb and Vrbo fees.
Oof. I feel like I should know this number off the top of my head.
It's okay. Just make a guess.
16,000, 17,000.
Wrong. Over $50,000.
What?
Yes. I'm on Hostly's direct bookings ROI calculator right now, and I plugged in our stats. And yes, based on the number of bookings we anticipate for this year, that's how much Airbnb is going to charge us for fees.
That's crazy.
I know. But I've got some good news for you. Since we use Hostly as our property management software, the calculator is letting us know if we continue to improve our direct booking strategy, we can save over $15,000 per year.
Wow, that is good news. Plus, we know this. When we make it our goal to improve our direct bookings with Hostly, we will have more control over our cancellation policies, guest database, and our overall branding differentiation in this crazy growing industry.
Yes, plus our bottom line.
Yeah.
So listeners, please give Hostly's direct booking ROI calculator a try for yourself. And we bet you'll be excited to learn more about Hostly's award-winning property management software and their integrated, built-in, out-of-the-box, completely customizable direct booking site for your hosting business.
And thanks for visiting, listeners. Get $100 off when they use code TFV100 at checkout. That's right. Use code TFV100 when signing up for Hostly's property management software to get $100 off.
Is the cost of your storage included in these expenses also?
No, because it's not. It probably should be. Only half of it's being used for supplies.
You use it for your other stuff. Okay, gotcha. All right, yeah. So you had a cow.
Had a cow.
Wendy had a cow. Did your accountant bring this to you and say, we need to make a change? When you have a cow over numbers, because I think this is a great lesson. Like, this happened. We have cows to cows
every day. I just had one before this call. Yeah.
Let's go through the emotional side of it. Of like, you thought you were doing something great for your business, and then you're like, "Oh my gosh!" Now I'm like, you literally are losing money. It sounds like. Is it? You stop that day. You get on the phone with the accountant, or does she bring this to you and say, "We got to triage this"?
It's my bookkeeper that I work really closely with, so we did talk it out a little bit. But what I needed to do was go in and look at, I don't know that I knew where to start, but I had to dig into it more. I needed to see what was going on. So I ended up going to the store, like several houses, and taking a look at what was going on in the house. And I also went to my storage supply to see what was in there. And then it dawned on me, I didn't lose money. Maybe I had money in inventory.
You know inventory, Annette.
Yeah. Ooh, a lot probably. Ouch.
So how much? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out like how much do we have in each house? And I realized like I wanted to get this off the ground. I didn't know everything that how it was going to work out. And sometimes how I operate is I need to just start doing it because then I'll figure out like the operational side as we kind of hit some of the bumps in the road. So, one of the other concerns was $4,000 in delivery. Like,
What is delivery? Explain, okay. Define delivery for us, because you got rid of Amazon delivery. So why do you have $4,000 in delivery?
Well, we had to get the stuff to the houses. So if I'm buying at Costco, not every house is going to be available. Not everything comes from Costco. So we buy Who Gives a Crap toilet paper, and it gets delivered to my house. So then I take that to the storage. Sometimes Costco doesn't have something like dishwasher soap or something. So yeah, once we go shopping at Costco, it can't all go to the houses. Also, my truck is not big enough to have enough supplies for every house. So what we were doing last year was we had two people who were in charge of supplies. They split the houses. So one took Scottsdale houses, one took Phoenix and North Scottsdale houses. And they would just kind of monitor the supplies in the closet and then fill them in when needed.
Got it. So that no this tracking. Is their time is in this $4,000 of yes. delivery. All right.
So then I'm thinking, okay, I can't pay you every time you are going to go to the house. Like, you need to be more efficient to do this. So I'm going to pay you a flat rate to keep a house stocked every month. You can be as inefficient as you want. If you want to bring, you know, one roll of toilet paper every time, that's fine. So that's how we decided to do it. So they would just keep things in there. They're also inspectors and turnover on the turnover team. So they're at the houses anyway. Mm-hmm. So they would keep supplies in their cars. Some of them started to keep it in their garages, which I trust them. So that wasn't a problem, but that's going against the entire point of this.
Right.
Or one of the entire points of this. Having supplies floating around, inventory floating around, sitting in the garages, taking up room in their trunk. So I knew that had to change. Didn't know how to change it. So we revamped everything. And now what we have, well, I went around and did every single house. I wanted to do it all the same way so I could be the person that knows how it's done or what it's like. And so I just filled up my truck with a little bit of everything and then went to each house. And we had come up with my team, we had come up with like a par level, I guess that's what you call. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to have 3 laundry detergents and 98 rolls of toilet paper or whatever. And paper towels, a lot of them. We just needed, they go through that so fast. So I go to the supply closets and one of the team members kept stocking a lot of shampoo and conditioner. And those, they're refill bottles this big. And I mean, they're the big refill bottles. So they're taking up a lot of room. I kept buying it because I was like, we have no shampoo and conditioner. So then I would restock the big supply storage. So, and long story short, each closet is now set with a set amount of stuff per house.
Par levels for each of those. Okay.
I actually ended up taking a lot of stuff out.
Wonderful. You gained the inventory back.
Yes.
Yes.
So now we know exactly what's in the storage. We know exactly what's in each house. I made a little sheet that I just take and I just say, we have this, we have this, we have this, and post it inside, take a picture, put it, upload it to Breezeway, post it inside the supply closet door. And so since I did that, now we know exactly what we have and every house is set for 3 months.
That's your par level. You will have mm-hmm. enough supplies. And by the way, everyone, par level stands for periodic automatic replacement. And by the automatic, it's what Wendy's saying is your team probably goes in there and counts, what, maybe every month, just to make sure that if your par level for sponges is two 25 count boxes, that it meets that par level. And if it doesn't, mm-hmm. there's some system to replenish it so that you are meeting your par level, right? How did you decide what par level was? Was it just like, let's just pick a number. I think these houses will have, this was what 3 months means for this house and just try it and see how it goes.
Pretty much. Yeah. We kind of, I spoke with one of my team members who is one of their turnover specialists, and she was also the one that was replenishing half the houses. Mm. And so we kind of decided how much do people go through in a month? And then we multiplied by 3. So after this 3 months, so in April, I think we go back, we'll know.
Yeah.
But we already know that 1 5-pound bag of coffee is not enough. So now in the middle of March, kind of learning towards the tail end of that 3 months, what's going
to
work.
Is your inspector who's taking the supplies to the home, are they still getting a monthly retainer, or if you're going to do it quarterly, are you switching that? No.
Because what we are doing now is what I did, but passing it off to them, whoever's going to do it. So we have our sheets. They will stock up. They will bring it to whatever houses. We can only do 3 houses in a day. So we're doing it every 3 months. We're doing it as the houses are open. And so it's going to be probably half the cost of the delivery.
Nice. When you noticed that you had a lot of cash sitting in the inventory,
what did you do?
Right. Now with the numbers, once you've redistributed that, what did the numbers is the cow going back in? I really should be cut off from this podcast at this point.
Making it more interesting. So I looked at my Costco receipts and just decided, okay, each sponge costs $1 or whatever. I took the numbers from my PAR sheets and put them in a spreadsheet, multiplied it out, and it looks like we have $11,256 in inventory.
Wow. So
great.
So it's not so bad.
Do you just then decide as a business owner, a small business owner, Wendy, that, hey, I'm just going to have this interest-free loan that my owners are going to benefit from while I get this program figured out and let that 11K even itself out over time with my newfound PAR level tracking program?
Yes, I think so. If you add those together, the 11,000 plus the revenue that we brought in, it's 24, it's almost 25,000. So 24,948. So we did come out higher.
Great. You did make money.
Yeah. So over time, I think it'll catch up. We're also getting better at the buying in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of buying 10 boxes of toilet paper, I just buy 35. It's half the cost.
Boom. Right.
So a box of toilet paper is 50% off if you buy whatever. So I believe it will catch up eventually. And I could change the cost to the owners, but I'm just going to keep riding at that because we are in the positive if we are including the inventory. And at that rate, the numbers compared to 2022, the cost to the owners has gone down.
Wow.
So you're making money off of this program. The owners are saving money on this program. And your team is making less trips, which as short-term rental owners, I think it's nice to really think about how we're affecting the world. Wendy, do you happen to know what your business is making? Like, what is that markup that you think you're taking home from your supply program? Like, are you making 15% off of your supply program, 20%? Any idea there?
I'm not sure. I would have to do that math. I think so. The total in the positive was like, what's that? $3,700. So maybe $3,000. So I'd have to multiply it out. I didn't figure that.
10%. It sounds about 10% of the total. Here's what, unfortunately, the numbers don't tell us. Let's talk about the guest experience and really that friction between your team and those deliveries. What has that brought to your business gaining this efficiency? Do you feel like the guests are having better stays now because they're not running out of supplies? Do you just think overall, like your team's able to focus on other things? Let's talk about some non-number related side effects, if you would.
I have another number I forgot about.
Yeah.
So my team is ordering Amazon stuff all the time, right?
Okay.
Think of how many expenses have to be categorized to each house.
Oh, yeah. Right. This is my favorite number.
Right.
Yeah. The bookkeeping number. The tracking.
The
invoice was like way long. And now it's pretty short, which I like. The owners don't go through and say, why did you buy 98 rolls of toilet paper? That seems excessive. And we're saving on bookkeeping time. So we're saving about $1,500 a year on bookkeeping.
Wow. I love
that. So that was unintended, like didn't consider that at all in part of the equation. So I really, really liked that. I also really like for our team that they get paid to do these things rather than Amazon getting paid to deliver.
Wendy, that's some gold right there. That's some gold.
Your initial goal was save the owner's money, pay our team. Yep. Those were the two big reasons to do it. So,
and I think mostus should make money as well for offering, because this for you too, Wendy, is another marketing notch on your website. Like the mostus supply program saves our owners money, which takes in consideration high season and low season expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And your invoicing is clear and transparent and predictable.
Ooh, predictable.
And
that's the one. Yeah.
Only paying for what is being used.
Right.
Rather than paying to stock the whole closet.
Because of that PAR level, Because let's say the house only, like, it sleeps 10, but you're only getting 4 people. Your par level, though, is still going to stay steady in terms of, like, you're not just going to add things to it because there's room on the shelf. There is now a science behind or math behind that. And so you're not going to fill it until it's necessary.
And another unintended but great thing is that we don't have as many boxes being sent to the houses. We did have delivery boxes, and we still do, but
the amount of cardboard, right? Like the recycling,
they don't
of that
even always put that in the delivery box. So then the guest is like, hey, you got a box here, we'll just put it inside. And so there's fewer of that. Like, that doesn't happen as often because we don't ship things to the houses as much. We do ship some things, but not as much. So that part has been good. I also can put whatever I want in that list of supplies, right? So there's these things that I told the owners that we're going to do. But I snuck one more thing in there. It makes sense to me now.
What is it?
The poopery spray.
Oh. Okay.
Because we have a lot of friends traveling together. And I just thought they needed that.
Dear Poopery will be reaching out for a sponsor. No, Wendy, I have a question, though, on that front. The things that aren't covered in your supply program. Let's say an owner is like you have your new viral home, the Lavender Haze, your Taylor Swift property, which that's another podcast episode coming to you soon, everyone. Wendy has a viral, very cool Taylor Swift inspired rental. But let's say, I don't know, you get a Swifty bracelet with every check-in for your guests. I don't know, making it up. The K-cups, right? You don't do K-cups, but an owner wants to have K-cups. That is their passion. What do you do then? Is that a line item on your invoice? And do you allow those sorts of like special requested things? Talk to us about that.
Yes. Anybody that's doing specialty coffee, anything that's beyond this specified list, or what I've decided the specified list, is just going to be shipped to the house like it typically would be, like it was before. So Nespresso is sending out the cups, and each house has different kinds of batteries they need. So we send those to the house. So yeah, we stick to that list. The only thing I've ever messed with was adding the poopery, because I didn't think the owners would pay separately for poopery, and I wanted it.
It's your program, right? It's your management program, so you can do that.
That's right.
Okay. This is like off the cuff topic. Did you get that email? I haven't dug into it yet, though. Did you get the email from Breezeway that they're now allowing inventory tracking per property?
Yes. Yes. And I think I need to do that because...
Can you and I just meet for a nerd out happy hour, drink wine, and learn about the new Breezeway inventory program? That'd be fun.
We'll just sit there and pretend we're at a storage closet.
Yeah.
That part of your operations, I'm going to circle back. When you said like setting up your storage unit, that actually did sound fun to me. Like that
I
part
do
of
love
the operation,
that too.
I like that. I was like, I want to get those toilet paper. I want to get it all organized and ready to go.
Let's talk about your storage unit. Is it on your personal property?
No.
So it's what tell us about it.
So I don't have a garage or a basement or a storage anything on my property. So I have a storage unit down the street that I've always had for the random vintage furniture projects and random crap that goes in there. I combined two storage, smaller ones to a larger storage unit. And actually, the day I was sitting there kind of like getting rid of stuff and making room, there was a storage unit neighbor who was getting rid of a lot of shelving units. And I was like, stop it right now. I'll take those. So he helps me set them up and it was amazing. I did have to buy some more, but.
I would like to know your opinion. If someone's listening and they have one property or two, would you recommend a centralized supply program to them now that you've done both ways?
I don't know if I would for one or two properties. Although if they're your own, I think you're kind of like winging it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It seems like in the beginning, you're kind of winging it. And I don't know that I would go through it and trying to do that. I have heard people kind of do the same thing and just have their cleaning team come and pick stuff up at like a centralized location. Our city is way too big for that.
Right.
You can't do that. And also, I don't want them running to a storage unit to pick something up. And then I feel like people need to be paid for that.
Absolutely.
Doing something extra, you need to be paid for that, unless it's like just assumed part of the job. So yeah, for one or two, I don't know that I would do it.
I love that. Permission to focus on other things at that time. And as you're scaling, but think about how you can dial in your supply. So you have a centralized storage area. You have different supply specialists who have split the houses in there. They're still responsible for that split number of houses. Is that right, Wendy? Still?
We have not decided on that. That's something. So we have the next round coming up. And so we'll have to talk about that. I think it's going to be more so which houses are available on which days.
Right.
I'm still reeling about the bookkeeping, removing that from your bookkeeper and allowing them to focus also on bigger picture things with the properties instead of, you know, line iteming all of that. It's really like freeing them up to focus on other parts of the bookkeeping that are really going to impact the bottom line. That was something I was not anticipating.
As your expenses come in though, in QuickBooks or whatever, are you still tracking like that Costco purchase and that Amazon purchase to supply your supply closet? I know you're not line adding them to the invoices, but are you still keeping a pretty good track of each purchase and what's included in it?
Not necessarily. Like, they'll list it in the description, like paper towel, blah, 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 blah. But not like how much of each or anything like that. So when I go to Costco, I just buy the supplies. I don't mix anything else in there. I made the mistake of buying towels, bath towels. On the receipt says towels. So they assumed it was paper towels. So then that's not part of it. So that's a mistake that we found, but it's just kind of being categorized as a most expense now, not going to any house or anything like that. So it just gets lumped over there and it's so much easier rather than having 10 expenses per house. And then also the questions have gone down. Mm. Like, here are all the expenses. We don't know which houses these go to. Can you remember? And it's just so much less confusion.
Right back and forth with your bookkeeper. Another interesting thing that I want to share with everyone, I am hopeful, I'm pretty sure you do this. This is another like added bonus of bringing this program. Like, hopefully all of this is going on your business credit card and you're getting points for this on your business credit card. I know you have a fun program with your credit card points that you get. I think you're still doing this. Can you explain how you utilize your reward points to incentivize and reward your team?
Yes. So my points go towards year-end bonuses. We do it by tenure. So how long you've been. So if you've been with us for 4 years, you get X amount. I use my points for that. And almost the points cover all of it. Mm-hmm. We have a team. We have probably anywhere from 12 to 14 people on our team during the year. So, and they stick around. So they're getting expensive.
I love that though.
but are they? Because they're getting better. They're that loyalty is...
And the cost of finding a new talent team is like so expensive. I had one more question for you.
The loyalty is priceless.
It is. I mean, people are OGs now.
Mm-hmm. I want to just say that I think the overarching theme here is two things. One, if you're in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, you should hire Mostis because she's got your back.
You know, she's got the Mostis. She does. She's got Mostis with the Mostis.
But two, Wendy, it seems like this is a beautiful blend of, yes, numbers, spreadsheet tracking, but also not being too specific and too like analysis paralysis and making sure you count every toilet paper and know and see how many sheets people are using per stay. Like it's that blend of like just enough data to get the situation done.
Right. And I love taking the action and actually just letting it go for a full year. We talk about that a lot. If you don't know this, listeners, Wendy is one of our beloved coaches inside our Hosting Business Mastery membership. We'll put a link there in the show notes. If you want to join us and not only be coached with Sarah and I, but Wendy's in there along with some other amazing hosts, Amy and Mike. But I think we talk to hosts all the time because they get very fixated on those months where Wendy was talking about it. It's July and you know the electricity bill is $600 and we're buying supplies. You hear a lot of that chatter, not only in your own brain, but then you're talking about it amongst your other hosts and business partners. But you gotta take the highs and the lows and you need to look at a 12-month. You need to look at the full year because most of us are going to have shoulder seasons. We're going to have high and low seasons. And I love that you're like, we want to go with this program for an entire year. We need to let it go for an entire year so we can really see. Because I was like, why aren't you looking at it 6 months? Well, you're like, that wouldn't have given us a good, this is an experiment. We need to see the full year. And I want to say kudos to that. If you want to try something in your business, sometimes you got to let it go for that full seasonality to see what the impact is going to be. So I think you taking that risk, because it was a risk, and now it's going to pay off. But looking at the numbers across 12 months.
Anything else, Wendy, you want to share about your experience for the past, year and a half with this adventure?
Well, I will say that we talked about the supply program for probably 6+ months before we implemented it. And I just didn't have the answers. And I think this is going along the lines of what you were just saying. Sometimes you just have to start. You won't know all the answers. You just have to see what the bugs are and work them out eventually. I do wish that I had looked at the numbers a little bit sooner, although I don't know if I would have been able to figure it out. I don't know. But yeah, you don't have to know exactly how many pieces of toilet paper in each house and all that. You'll figure it out over time. So just give it a try. Sometimes it doesn't work and you can just start over, do something else.
Wendy, share with our listeners, they want to find more about you and your business, take a peek at what you got going on. Where should they reach out to you?
Our business name is Moses. You can find us at moses.host is our website. We have, 12-13 homes in Phoenix and Scottsdale and one in Cottonwood near Sedona. And you can follow us on Instagram at moses.host.
And if anyone's interested in joining our program, the link that's in the show note will actually benefit Wendy. If she's inspired you want to learn with Wendy as she is scaling her co-hosting business, please do that. Let us know that you've heard about our program through Wendy. But with that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for Visiting. Talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Can we make you a personalized podcast playlist?
Head on over to thehostquiz.com, answer 7 easy questions, and get a unique to your hosting biz playlist of Thanks for Visiting podcast episodes to help you smash your goals.
The action plan and strategies that will elevate your business is one quick quiz and a set of headphones away. Again, head to thehostquiz.com and take our quick hosting quiz today.